The Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at a couple other scriptures as well this morning. But before we get into those, just kind of want to give a little bit of an advertising plug for everyone. Starting next week and for the whole month of May, we are going to be going through a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And so if you're unfamiliar with what the fruit of the Spirit is, hopefully by the end of May, you'll be very, very well acquainted of what the fruit of the Spirit is. And so throughout this whole summer, actually, we are going to be going through different aspects and roles and workings of the Holy Spirit, and I'm getting really excited. Our stage decor is going to change a little bit, and so I'm really excited to see that. And but I mention that to say this: begin to prepare your hearts and ask God to open your heart and to open your mind to the things of the Spirit. To the things of the Holy Spirit, who He is, how He works, what He does, the role the Holy Spirit has in your life. Just ask God to show you truth and allow the truth of the Word of God to permeate your being so that you can become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. And so I'm getting really pumped and excited for that. And so I want to ask a question first and foremost. Maybe you can answer the question anyway. This is a little bit more rhetorical, but is anyone hungry? It might be kind of a dangerous word to or a dangerous question to ask this morning, especially at church. I know we have a pork loin in the crock pot that's steeping up and brewing right now, and usually, well, it's only 11 o'clock, so. Many of you probably aren't hungry yet, but the closer we get to noon, we begin to get a little bit hungry. But we all experience hunger, right? And so hunger is a very interesting thing. We all get hungry. Why do we get hungry? Because our body needs energy. Our body needs fuel in order to do all the work that it's doing. Even though you're sitting there in your chair right now, your body is working hard. Your heart's pumping blood throughout every square inch of your body. Your organs are working. They're using enzymes and breaking down your breakfast and the coffee and the creamer you had this morning. And cells are dying. Blood cells are dying and being replicated. And hair is growing. Hair is falling out, right? Skin cells are dying and shedding, and we get to breathe in each other's skin cells, and it's dead skin cells. It's really amazing. That's what dust is. Come on now. If it's not dirt, it's dead skin cells. Take that for what you want to take that as. But our body is working hard, and so in order to continue to work, our body needs energy. And so one way our body lets us know that is through hunger. Our brain, our stomach tells our brain, hey, this body needs energy in order to continue working. Feed it. And so then we eat. Sometimes we eat more than we should. A lot of times we eat more than we should. I like food. Sometimes I like food a lot more than what I probably should. But our body, it's necessary. Hunger is a necessary thing in our lives, and it's an indicator for us that our body needs energy, our body needs fuel, and needs sustenance. And one thing about hunger is that it'll never go away. For as long as we're in our bodies, for as long as we're here, we'll always experience hunger to some level, to some form, to some degree, because we always need strength, we always need energy in order to move. And for those of us who are a little bit more active in lifestyle, like a lot of athletes too, they consume a lot of calories because they're burning a lot of energy. And so I want to talk about food, and I'm even getting hungry as I talk about it. But I want to talk about food and hunger because there's this aspect in Scripture where Scripture talks about hunger. It talks about physical hunger, but the Bible talks about spiritual hunger. And so what I wanted to talk about this morning is spiritual hunger. And we're going to look at a couple different passages. And what I have kind of just a couple of phrases or sayings that I've heard over the years. A couple of them I've kind of like retuned and made to kind of be my own. And so these aren't necessarily kind of typical sermon points and stuff like that. But this first one, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. And this is Jesus speaking. And this is the section called the Beatitudes. So Jesus is giving, he's kind of shattering the Jewish mindset about Old Testament law. And so he's giving essentially kind of what the New Testament version of the Old Testament law. And so he's saying, this is what kingdom life is like. If you're going to follow me, and if you're going to know me, and if you're going to live in the kingdom of God, this is what it's like. And so what I want to look at specifically is verse 6. Verse 6, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. How many of you, when you eat, you become satisfied? I eat most of the time beyond satisfaction. Because, right, you eat and you get full and then you find out, oh, there's dessert, right? Thanks for the date bars, by the way. I crushed all four of those the next day. They were delicious. But I love how Jesus says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So the first thing that this tells me is that we can have a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst. What does that also tell me? That tells me that spiritually, in the invisible, in my spirit, in my heart, and in my soul, I have a depletion of God's presence, of knowing who He is, of His Word being in me and working in me, and I can drift away from God and from knowing God, and a hunger can develop. And one thing I've learned, and maybe you've experienced this too, sometimes it's a little bit harder to discern spiritual hunger than it is physical hunger. Because it's so easy to drift away from God, right? And maybe you've gone through seasons where you have drifted away from God, and maybe you're in a place this morning and maybe you've been distant from God for a while, and you just want to kind of, you want to give church another try, you want to give God another try, so you've come here this morning. And I just want to say, as people of God, as followers of Jesus, we have to hunger and we have to thirst for the things of God, because if we don't, then we're not going to seek Him, we're not going to know Him. And if we don't seek Him and if we don't know God, we're not going to know what His will is, and we're not going to know what His plans are for our lives, and we're not going to then, consequently, we're not going to live for Him, we're just going to live for ourselves. And so my hope this morning, what I've been praying for this morning, for all of us, is that if you're here this morning and you either have a very small appetite for the things of God, or maybe you don't have any appetite at all for the things of God, my prayer and my hope, no matter where you're at, is I hope that you can develop a hunger for the things of God. Because Jesus says, if you hunger and you thirst, not only are you going to be blessed, God is going to bless you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, the things that are right in God's eyes. You hunger and thirst for those, but you're going to be what? You're going to be satisfied. How many of you have been dissatisfied in life? Been dissatisfied with work? Been dissatisfied with a relationship? You've been dissatisfied with friends? You've been dissatisfied with your junky old car? You know, you've been dissatisfied with whatever. But we experience dissatisfaction in life. And I love it. And so Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, look, if you hunger for God, you're never going to come away dissatisfied. You're going to feel and you're going to feel a sense and a level of satisfaction and of fulfillment that you're not going to get from anything else or anything else. Let me tell you what, when I eat a bacon cheeseburger and fries and maybe an ice cream or whatever. Okay, I'm sounding like a big glutton up here, but I'm going to be satisfied for a little bit. Maybe I'll feel a little sick or whatever, but I'm going to feel satisfied. But there's going to come a time again when I'm going to be dissatisfied, I'm going to be hungry. And so another aspect of this being hungry for the things of God and being hungry for righteousness and wanting to see God and wanting to know God is that we have a food source available to us that when we eat it, when we consume it, we will it not only satisfies us, but it imparts life. And so I want to look at this before we jump there, this verse 6 here in Matthew chapter 5, a phrase that I use most recently is to kind of grasp this and kind of the whole theme of this morning about hungering for God. And the phrase is this: God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in him. God is the most glorified in me when I am the most satisfied in him. See, because as a Christian, there's kind of two different camps that we can fall in as Christians as it relates to our relationship with God and our doing for God. So there's a camp of those, and this is in the Bible, and we'll look a little bit at it, but God wants us to be with him. God, the Bible talks about Jesus and the angel that was speaking said, the Son of Man is going to come and he's going to be Emmanuel, which that name Emmanuel means what? God with us. It is God's heart. It is God's will. It's his plan. It's his desire to be with us. And consequently, it is a desire of Jesus for us to be with him. And so there's this camp and this reality that God wants us to be with him. What does that mean? God wants us to have a relationship with him. God wants us to be in relation with him. The Bible says in Genesis, we are created in the image of God. What does that mean? God created us to look the way that we look, arms, legs, bodies, minds, and just everything, how we operate. He created us in his image. Why? So we could relate to him and that he could relate to us. Sometimes it's hard for us to relate to certain kinds of animals because we're not in the same likeness. We can't talk and communicate. Some of us can talk to our dogs and our cats and everything else like that. Our animals can do that, but it's not the same. We can't relate to our animals like God can relate to us. And so there's this reality of being with God. What does that mean? So we have God wants to be in relationship. What should and does a relationship with God look like for us? Well, one kind of earthly example that we can think of is, what is a relationship like with another person? There's certain elements in a relationship with a person that need to be a reality in our relationship with God. One of them is spending time with each other. We'd be very hard-pressed for anyone in here who's married that in the dating process, in the engagement process with your spouse, I'm going to be very hard-pressed to find that you guys spend very little time together. Probably you spent almost every waking moment that you could, unless you were really annoyed or frustrated or you were fighting or whatever, and then you wanted to just go hang out with someone else. But you were so in love and you were so in like, maybe too, that you wanted to, all you could think about was her, all you could think about was him and spending time with them and being together. And God's the same way. And God's even worse. God's like that stalker girl that, man, he's always up in your business. He knows who you're calling, when you're calling him. He knows where you wait, when you wait. He knows why you weren't answering the call. You know, he's everywhere at all time. And so God, he wants to be with you so bad, so much, but he's not going to force himself on you. And so he wants that from us. He wants more than anything for us to be with him. And so what does that mean? We need to spend time with God. How do we spend time with God? One way that we spend time with God is right here. In the binding of this book, in the pages of this word that he has preserved, that he has through the unction, as we can say, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God caused men several, thousand years ago to write this book, and these books, these letters have been preserved for us today. Why? So that we can know God. And that word know is actually a really interesting word. I'll go off just on a little bit of a tangent here. That word know is really interesting in Scripture. You ever read back in the Old Testament when it said Adam knew Eve, and then they conceived and bore a son? It's a really interesting word. It's the same word that's used that God says we ought to know him. And you're thinking, well, I don't know if I want to put those two connections together. That word know, when it says Adam knew Eve, obviously are we all adults in here? There's a couple little kids. That word know means that we have a relationship to the point where there's physical interaction, and that creates children. Okay, what is that? That is one of the deepest levels of intimacy that we can experience with another human being. And God is saying, I want to know you, and I want you to know me. I want to be so intimate and so deep that we know each other's secrets, that I know why you say certain things. I know how what you're going to say before you even say it, because I drop the cat litter all over here, and I know if you see it, what you're going to say and how you're going to feel. Like that, I mean, that's God. God knows you, but he wants you to know him too. How are you going to get to know God? You can't just dream up and imagine, well, I think God is this way because I think God should be this way. No, God, we get to know God through this. So through the Bible is how we get to know God and have a relationship and to be with God. And then there's prayer, spending time in prayer, spending time in a quiet place. Quiet place, what's that? We have radios and iPads and cell phones, and I almost said a Walkman. That would have been really crazy, right? The kids didn't laugh. What is that guy talking about? Our world is so noisy and so busy. I want to encourage and challenge you. Find 10 minutes a week. 10 minutes of quiet time. Maybe that's in the shower. I hope you all shower. If you tend to be one who likes to jam out to music in the shower and stuff, do that. But I want to encourage you, turn the music off and invite God into the shower with you. Okay? God knows what you look like without clothes on, so it's no big deal. Come on. No, but seriously, I've heard God sometimes more clearly in the shower than any other place on the planet. And maybe you've experienced that too. But spend time with God intentionally. Invite God into your presence. Say, God, I want your presence. Be with me. Just come and be with me. No strings attached. No, come and reveal my entire future to me. Lay out step by step the entire course of my life. Just God, come and be with me. Because that's the will and the heart of God, is to be with you. And if you ask him that, he's going to show up and he's going to be there with you. And so there's a camp of being with God, being with the presence of God, developing relationship, cultivating that relationship. And then there's another camp, which these two camps work together, and we, you know, another camp of the doing camp, of where we will be so impressed and so inclined and so motivated to do for Jesus. And they can all be good things. You know, we can clothe the naked. We can feed the poor. We can help the needy. We can pray for the sick. We can do all those things and do and not spend any time with God and not continue to grow to know who God is. And then what's going to happen, one of the downsides and downfalls to the doing camp, is we can do so much and spend so little time actually with God that once discouragement comes, once that dissatisfaction comes, right? Because when we're hungry, that's a form of dissatisfaction when we're not filled. We can do more and just keep doing. And we get to the point of dissatisfaction, and then we get discouraged, and then we think, God, where are you? What's going on here? And that world can fall apart. And then here's those of us who just like to be with God, and we're with God all the time. We're worshiping and praying and our homes all the time. We show up to church early to pray, and we're reading our Bibles, and we're doing all this, and we're just being all the time, and we're not doing anything for God. We're not telling anyone about Jesus. We're not clothing anyone who needs clothes. We're not feeding anyone who needs food. We're not blessing people who need to be blessed. And we're just happy in our own little Jesus camp. And so what God is looking for, God is looking to mold and to join these two camps. And he's saying, look, if you're more about the doing, I need you to be a little bit more about being with me. And if you're all about just being with me, I need you to step out and start doing some things for me. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 7. So just flip over a couple pages, couple chapters, however many that is in your Bible. And I want to give this statement before we read this passage out of, or these few verses out of Matthew 7, and actually Matthew chapter 10 too. Here's the saying or the phrase: our doing for God must flow from our being with God. Our doing with God must flow out of our being with God. Because either way, you'll either get fat and stuffy spiritually, or you'll become anorexic and weak from all you're doing. So your doing must flow out of your being with God. Well, what do you mean by that, Travis? What does Jesus mean? Well, let's look at it. Chapter 7, starting in verse 21, verses 21 through 23, Jesus talking. This is towards the end of two straight chapters in Matthew where it's nothing but Jesus speaking. So this is extensions off of his sermon on the mountainside. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, what day? The day of judgment, the day we stand before the Lord. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. What's Jesus getting at here? Our doing must flow from our being. Jesus was giving an example, and he said there are people in the world who are doing all kinds of good works. And it's good things that they're doing, and it's good that they're doing good things. And what he's displaying to us is this: in all of their good doing, they never knew the one for whom they were doing it. And what's the heart of God? To know us, and for us to know him. And so Jesus, talking here in Matthew 7, he's talking about doing, right? Whoever says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the first reality. If Jesus is your Lord, if he is your Savior, heaven is yours. It is your inheritance. And he says, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So he's talking about doing the will of God. And he's also talking about, I want you to do my will. But how do you know what my will is? Unless you know me. And how do you know me? Unless you're spending time with me. How do we spend time with God? The Bible, prayer, fellowship with each other, spending time in praise and in worship, and just inviting God into our world and us inviting ourselves into his. And so our doing must flow from our being. Another aspect of spiritual hunger. Jesus saying in Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be what? Satisfied. What then is the work of God? Some people asked Jesus this question. He was talking in the Gospel of John chapter 6. He was talking about himself, but there's a whole long passage about Jesus calling himself the bread of life. And I mentioned a little bit earlier, we have this food source that not only fills us and not only sustains us, but it gives us and it imparts life, not just to us, but to the world. So in this passage, Jesus talking about himself being bread, being the bread of life, being the bread that comes down from heaven. Someone in that passage asks him a question. What are the works of God so that we can do them? And I'm going to turn there real quick. You can flip there with me too if you'd like. John chapter 6, it's towards the second half. I'm going to look here for the verse. It's towards verse 28. Let me turn my page over. So Jesus is telling them, speaking to them, and he tells them that this is right after he fed the 5,000. And actually, it was more than 5,000. What was typical on that day is that Jews would only record male numbers. So whenever they counted numbers, they were just counting the guys. And so they counted 5,000 men there that day, and there most likely was women and children. So there's a lot more than 5,000 people. But Jesus provided food for 5,000 people out in the middle of the country. And so it was that same group of people that were following after Jesus still, because he left from that scene and he went across the huge lake, the sea that they were by, and they ran around the side, they followed him, and they show up. They're like, "We want more. Give us more of that bread. That was awesome." And so Jesus is telling them here in verse 26, he says, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." And so then the crowd asks him this question after he says that. What must we do to be doing the works of God? And I absolutely love this, because this whole scene just shows the depiction of God's heart, of the heart of Jesus, as it relates to being with God, being in relationship with God, and then doing for God. Because that's what this crowd of people, they were trying to figure out and kind of squeeze out of Jesus this answer. And so in verse 28, he says to them, so they ask him that question in verse 28, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered and said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." What? "This is the work of God," Jesus says. Do you want to be doing God's work? That's my question. I hope that all of us who are Christians and following God, I want to be doing God's work every single day of my life. And what is the work of God? Believe Jesus. What is the work of God? Believe in Jesus. You see, what's Jesus getting at there? He's saying, your work, your job, your role, your responsibility, your pleasure, your opportunity is to be with Jesus. The number one calling of every Christian on the planet from time beginning to time ending is to be with Jesus. That's your first and foremost, your calling. Everything else flows out of that. The specific work that God has called you to do, that flows out from your being with him. My call to preach flows out of my call to be with him. If I'm not spending time with God, I better not get up here and try to preach his word. If God has called you into a compassion or a helping ministry, you better not go out and try to help people without spending time with the Lord. Because think about this. Spend time in the presence of God, in the Word of God, and what's going to happen? You're going to begin to experience the love of God. You're going to begin to experience the mercy and the grace of God. You're going to begin to experience the compassion of God. You're going to realize, man, God, you're so compassionate on me and kind and caring and generous and giving and forgiving. And if you're not experiencing that from God, what is your source to give all that stuff to other people? You can manufacture it on your own. Eventually, you're going to run out. You're going to run out of time and strength and energy. And thankfully, Jesus told us that if we want life and we want energy and we want this source of strength, that we can eat him. Back in the early church, in the first couple hundred years, one of the accusations that people made in persecution of Christians was that they're cannibals and that their leader taught cannibalism. Where does that come from? That comes from this passage, because Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall live forever." Imagine hearing Jesus say that. And so that was crazy. Anyways, so Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Believe in me. That's what you need to do. Your doing is being with me. Nothing else matters. Nothing else should take that place. If there's anything that is causing us to not spend time with God, you need to get rid of it. We need to make time with God, because if you're not spending time with God, you're going to drift from him. You're going to drift away from him. You're not going to know who he is in time of need and trouble, and you have nowhere else to turn, and you turn to God. God, in his grace and his mercy, can extend out a hand and he can help you. But he's never obligated to. And so he's saying, pull close, draw near. And so he says, here's the work. Believe in Jesus. They couldn't accept that for an answer. There's no way they were going to accept that as an answer. So they say in verse 30, so they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they're saying, it can't be that simple, Jesus. My having a relationship with God and my developing and sustaining a hunger for righteousness and having a hunger for things of God and not things of this world, it has to be more simple, or it has to be more complicated. It can't be as simple as just believing in you. So because it's not that simple, Jesus, prove to us that we can trust in you. Prove to us some other work that you can do to show us that maybe it is possible to be that simple. Because Moses, when he led our fathers and our forefathers, when Moses led, he gave them, he gave our families and stuff, he gave them bread to eat. He gave them manna to eat. So what sign are you going to do? And Jesus kind of one-ups them in a way, almost one-unders them. And his response, I just love this. Basically, his response is, first of all, Moses didn't give that bread, God did. And he says, second of all, Moses offered you something, I offer you me. I offer myself. The work that I do is offering myself to you, offering my body to be broken, offering my blood to be shed, offering shame and scorn and taking your sin from you and nailing it to the cross and dying a death that I don't deserve, but you deserve it. But I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to die and I'm going to be raised back to life, and I'm going to ascend back and receive the glory that I had before I came to earth, and God is going to restore that, and that is going to give power to the entire earth to overcome death and sin. Jesus doesn't say all of that here in John 6, but that's the summary of it. We can have our musicians return, please. So remember this morning that our doing for God must flow from our being with God. And that God is most glorified in you and through you when you find your satisfaction in him. And so how I want to close service this morning, I want to pray for all of you. But before we get into that, I just want to express what I expressed at the beginning, that my hope and my prayer for you is that wherever you're at in your relationship with God, wherever you're at in knowing Jesus and your experience with Jesus, maybe you don't have one at all. Maybe you've been following Jesus your whole life. You know, some of you for as long as I've been alive. Develop a hunger for the things of God. Develop a hunger and a thirst, almost physically. You're going to eat food every day. You're going to drink water and coffee and whatever else you drink every day. You're going to eat and you're going to drink to give energy and satisfaction to your body. And how much more important then is it going to be for us to be hungry and thirsty for the things of God? And so that's my prayer, that God this morning can impart to you a hunger that you've never experienced before. And the only way to satisfy the hunger that you're going to experience is in Jesus, is to go to him, to lean on him, to trust in him. All the cares and the worries that you have, give those to him. And he's going to impart life to you. Areas of your life that are dead, he can breathe into them and resurrect them. So let's pray this morning. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we're here this morning, God, and now I want to ask, Lord, for everyone in here, God, that we can hunger for you. That we can have an ache in the belly of our soul that longs to hear from you, that needs to be with you, that we experience a desire to know you and to know you more. God, our world is filled with distractions and with media, and life gets busy and our schedules get out of control, and it seems like time controls us and we don't control our time, and before you know it, we're going to leave this building this morning, Lord, and before we know it, it's going to be Sunday again already. And where did the week go? I don't even know what happened, and I spent no time with you. So God, I want to pray this morning that you allow your people this morning to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, who is sensitive himself. I pray that they can be sensitive to your Spirit to know that this dissatisfaction that they're experiencing in life, that satisfaction can be had, but not through anything or any person except for you. God, impart truth and wisdom and discernment to your people this morning so that they can know and become hungry for you, and that they can turn to you to fill that hunger, because Jesus promised that we are blessed when we hunger and when we thirst for righteousness, and that we will be satisfied. We will be fulfilled. We will stop grasping at the straws of life and trying to add things to it to feel better, but we can have our feeling and our full and our satisfaction in you. We pray that in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning, and you haven't given your life to Jesus, you haven't made that decision, you haven't made that action, you haven't made that verbal confession to the Lord, maybe you're tired of living your life according to your own terms. You know how empty and how void that is. You know how unfulfilled you are. You know how uncertain your future is, and you hate it. You're frustrated by it, and you've failed. You have failed in life. You've been successful and you have failed. And your heart, I want to tell you this morning, friend, your heart is looking for true satisfaction, and you're never going to find it anywhere else or in anyone else, not even your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, or your spouse. Nowhere are you going to find true, full satisfaction, fulfillment. Only in Jesus is where it's at. And so if you're here, I want to ask you this morning, if you're feeling that, if you're sensing that feeling in you right now that you want to give your heart to Jesus, you want to give up living your life your own way and just surrender and say, God, you must have a better plan and a better idea for my life. I am tired of living it on my own. I can't do it anymore. God, I give it to you. I want to pray that you do that this morning. Do it. Don't leave this place. And don't leave this place not knowing if you're right with God and not having a relationship with him. And if you do that, I want to encourage you at the end of service, come to me or maybe talk with the person you came here with and say, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus. And we can talk you through that when we can help you out in your first steps, and we can celebrate with you. We want to know about your decision, because when someone comes to Jesus for the first time, angels rejoice in heaven. They throw a party when someone gets saved and they come to faith in Jesus. Angels celebrate, imagine. A couple other options this morning. If God is speaking to your heart this morning and you need to develop more of a hunger for Him and more drawing to Him, I encourage you to stay in this place, worship God, commit to yourself this morning. Don't make an oath with God. He doesn't want us making oaths with Him because we'll break them. But commit to yourself this morning that you're going to begin today to hunger more for God, that you're going to, and what that hunger is going to do is going to produce all these other exterior things of reading the Bible and praying. But hunger is your priority. Being with God is your priority. So make that a priority this morning. If you have to get going for any reason, you're dismissed and free to go. If you want to visit, get a refill and refreshments, you can do that. They're available. I just ask that you do that out in the cafe area. But if you have to get going, I want to dismiss you with a prayer that comes from the Old Testament that God wanted to pray over His people, and it's a prayer of blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you, and may the Lord give you His favor, and may the Lord give you His peace. So go today in the name of the Lord. Stay here today in the name of the Lord. But God bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.
want to sing I to you. I don't want to talk about